Someone told me that at Bethlehem Church, when we see something that's wrong or we see a good work that needs doing, we don't just say, that would be nice if that would happen. We get to work. We make it happen. I'm told we are a church of action. Maybe so. Does that describe you? Are you a person of action? Do you like to see things happen? Do you? Are you all about getting the good things done? You know, I think you're probably here today because that does describe you. You believe God has a purpose for your life, a good purpose, and maybe you're here today to discover that purpose, what it is that God has for you, that calling. Maybe you're here today to figure out how to work that out. God's called me, I'm not sure how to take the next steps. Maybe that's why you're here. Maybe you're here to be encouraged just to keep going. You know that good work you've been called to, but man, it's tough and you just need to keep going, keep going. You're here to be encouraged in that good thing. If that's you today, if you're hoping to see something God-sized happen in your life today, then great. Because I think you're going to be inspired by Nehemiah's story. He is a man of God-sized vision. And his story in the Bible, it's going to stretch us over these next few weeks to be a man or a woman or a student or a child of God-sized action. So action that changes things for good and makes things right. So are you ready for action? Are you ready to make things right? If you are, tell your neighbor, I'm ready for action, okay? Tell your neighbor, I'm ready for action. Keep talking. So let's find out what kind of action Nehemiah takes when he learns some bad news. So in the first chapter of Nehemiah, beginning in verses 1, we read this. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. So there's a little background information that can be helpful here to understand what Nehemiah is facing. He's a man of action, and Nehemiah is an Israelite. He is in Babylon. He has been in exile, the people of Israel, for 140 years. Earlier, Babylon had come through Jerusalem, had wiped them out, had taken the people that were there, the officials, the nobles, into captivity. Some had returned. They were the Jewish remnant. They had escaped, gone back. They had survived. But there were few, and things were difficult there. And Nehemiah is in Babylon. He has become cupbearer to the king of Persia, the king that has succeeded Nebuchadnezzar and the empire that has remained. And so he is a close, trusted advisor to the king. So he receives this following report. Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. So for a man of action, how does Nehemiah respond to this news? Maybe not how we'd expect. He says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. The man of action sits down and cries. What kind of response is that? Right? You know, if you're here today ready for action, then I'm going to suggest that Nehemiah, his response is one that you and I may need to take. So let me ask you, how good are you at crying? Because there are times when you and I, we may simply just need to sit down and cry. And I really believe the thing that's going to fuel our mission as Jesus followers is the things that are going to really grow our reach with the gospel. And these are the things that actually have the power to make you and I cry. What I mean is, I believe our hearts must be breaking, need to be breaking with the things that are breaking God's heart. What are the things that break your heart today? What are the things that have the power to make you cry? You know, I believe God's heart breaks for kids that don't know the love of Jesus yet. You know, Jesus says, let them all come to me. And there's so many kids that don't have that opportunity, that don't know, that can come to Jesus. You know, I think it breaks God's heart. What breaks your heart? You know, God's heart breaks for students that have never called on the name of Jesus, all because they haven't heard that they could trust in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Yannick, your profession of faith today, that's amazing. All of heaven is celebrating today because of one sinner who is saved, celebrating your new life in Christ. And we celebrate that as well. But God's heart breaks for all the students who don't yet know Jesus, who don't have that relationship. You know, I believe God's heart breaks over parents who have lost their way, who are struggling because they don't have God's word to guide them and lead them. They're struggling because they don't have a church family to support them and walk beside them and encourage them along the way. What breaks your heart today? I think God's heart breaks over marriages that are torn apart because the enemy has lied to a spouse and torn them apart, and they've walked away from God's design and blessing. God's heart breaks for them through the pain that they have to endure now alone. What's breaking your heart today? You know, God's heart breaks over every single injustice in the world, every injustice that's done to our brothers and sisters of color, every race, or country of origin, or sex. God's heart breaks over all injustice done to his children. God's heart breaks for the alien in the foreign land and the terrorized in their own countries. God's heart breaks for the oppressed and the enslaved and the outcast, wherever they are. What breaks your heart today? You know, God's heart breaks for the unborn whose lives are ended and for the single parent who's struggling to make it work out, trying to care for a kid. God's heart breaks for the born who don't have enough to eat or clean water to drink. God's heart breaks for the brokenness in our world that we witness every day, either on social media or down the street or in our own homes. It breaks God's heart. What breaks your heart today? What breaks your heart, church? What breaks your heart? You know, the things that break God's heart are the things that fuel our mission as followers of Jesus. You know, lost people break God's heart. Hurting people break God's heart. Lonely people and left out people, it breaks God's heart. Maybe you know the feeling. What God really uses to grow us and grow our reach for the gospel are the things that break our heart. You know, the things that move us to tears and stir us so uncomfortably that we just rather push it away and forget about it, but we can't. You know that feeling? When our hearts break, I think we can be sure that God's at work right here. God's at work. When Nehemiah learned that the wall was broken down, the Bible says, I sat down and wept. You know, Nehemiah's response is what we find when we have a broken heart. I have to ask, why is he so upset about a broken wall? Who really cares about a broken wall? And we need to go to the parallel book in the Bible, the book of Ezra. And we find out in chapter 4 a little of the story here. The Jewish remnant, again, the Israelites who returned from the exile, they had attempted to rebuild the walls around the temple to restore, you know, their lives there, but their enemies had stopped them. And since that time, for 140 years, these walls have remained in shambles. And Nehemiah, he's not broken because the walls are demolished. I mean, that's a problem that needs to be addressed. But Nehemiah's heart is broken for something far more important. His people are defenseless and vulnerable. And more importantly, they're unable to live out their God-given identity through worship of God in his temple. So instead of reflecting God's glory as God's people, they were lost. They were left out. They were hurting. They were vulnerable. Nehemiah's heart was broken for his people. Nehemiah's heart was broken for God's glory. You know, today we have a congregational meeting to figure out how to move ahead with the building expansion. You know, it's a little kind of like the wall in the Bible today. But here's what I honestly believe. I don't think God's heart is breaking for a building. I don't. I think it's a problem that needs to be addressed so we can move forward in our mission. But I really believe God's heart is breaking for the things that you care most about. For the things that God cares most about. Broken hearts being healed and God's love and grace. That's what you care about. Lost people being found through new life in Jesus. People that have been excluded now being welcomed inside into the family of God. People who are broken and hurting being restored through the power of the Holy Spirit and the compassion and love of God's people. I think your heart breaks for the things that break God's heart. Those who are lonely, finding comfort. And friends, we're lonely. There's people very lonely here today. We're lonely. And God's people will find comfort in the love and compassion and presence of a friend. You know, our heart breaks for those who experience injustice and for finding justice and hope and peace by committed and compassionate followers of Jesus like you. That's what I believe your heart breaks for. And I believe you want to see Jesus lifted up in heartfelt worship to God's glory. Friends, what's breaking your heart today? In the book, The $64 Tomato, William Alexander, he asks, if you were doomed to live the same life over and over again for eternity, would you choose the life you are living now? And he goes on to say, it's an interesting question, but I've always thought the point of asking it is really the unspoken follow-up question, and that is, if the answer is no, then why are you living the life you're living? Stop making excuses and do something about it, he writes. You know, there are times that I know we can't do something about it, but I think more often there are times when we can do something. You know, it's a tough follow-up question, and when I read it, I wonder, in the same way, you and I, do we need to respond to things that break our heart in that way? You know, we can't do everything, but a wise person in the church here once told me that we can't do everything, but we can do something, one thing. You know, if you're serious about the thing that's breaking your heart today, then turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready for action. Yeah, it's a little quieter, isn't it? Nehemiah's next step. His next step seems contrary to what we'd expect, especially for a person of action. You know, before we look at what he does, I want us to examine our own response, you know, to those actions, to making things right. So how do you approach a good work? You know, what's your go-to? Do you tend to jump in and start first, or do you tend to seek advice and figure out how it's done? You know, do you tend to try something right away and see if you can do it, or do you read the directions and Google the instructions? You know, usually we're kind of one or the other, right? We jump in or we figure out how it's supposed to work. Something needs to be done. You're ready for action. What do? I want to find out. Raise your hand. A, if you get the instructions first, you Google the directions or talk to someone. If that's you, raise your hand, okay? All right? So put it down. Now B, are you the person who acts first? You do something, and then if it doesn't work out, then you YouTube it, right? Okay, so we're about even here, right? 50-50. What do the rest of you do? So what does Nehemiah do? What does Nehemiah do? Does he read the instructions? Does he jump in? Here's what Nehemiah does. He prays. Nehemiah prays. He writes, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive to your and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. You know, what broke Nehemiah's heart was what he brought to God in prayer. Pastor Craig Groeschel, he says, if it's worth crying about, it's worth praying about. If it's worth crying about, it's worth praying about. If you're one of those who tend to be a doer first, then I want to encourage you maybe that we want to follow Nehemiah's advice and go to the Lord in prayer. If you're one who seeks instruction first or Googles and looks it up, maybe we want to seek Nehemiah's advice and go to the Lord in prayer. His first action is prayer, serious, fasting, disciplined prayer. Author Brad Long, he talks about that as prayer that shapes the future. Think about prayer that shapes the future. Prayer that has power. Prayer that changes things for good. Do you know that kind of prayer? Have you ever experienced an outcome of prayer like that that impacts the future? Last week, I tried to live out what I was preaching. That's hard. Have you guys tried that? I tried to live it out, you know, a little message on generosity, and I was praying to the Lord, and I got prompted to do something that was beyond my scope of generosity, and I was a little, not sure about that, so I prayed. I brought it to the Lord and kind of seen if I could get off the hook, and the Lord, that didn't happen, so plan B is go to Cheryl and see if I can get off the hook, and that didn't happen either. She said, just do what God says, and so I took a step of faith and did this act, and the outcome of this act, prompted by prayer, was amazing. I cried. You know, maybe I got it wrong. Nehemiah cries and then he prays. You know, I prayed and then I cried. But I cried because of the impact of God-empowered action through prayer. Amazing what God can do. Nehemiah, he prayed a disciplined, fasting, serious prayer. Kathy Cash, she shares her family's experience with fasting prayer. She says, one day my husband announced to the family that he was going to fast and pray, and Ginny, our five-year-old, had recently learned that fasting meant no eating. So she shouted, you can't fast, you'll die. And her dad carefully, he explained that many men and the women in the Bible, they fasted in Bible times. And she paused for a moment, and then with a warning, she proved her point. She said, and they all died. So I don't think we need to fast in prayer to that outcome. But if your heart's broken for what breaks God's heart, then lasting, seeking, confessing, serious prayer is a powerful action that we can take. Nehemiah confessed and he prayed in faith, trusting in what God had promised. And we're going to look at his prayer here in Nehemiah 7, chapter 1, 7 through 10. This is his prayer. I confess the sins of the Israelites, including myself and my father's family, that we have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for in my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. When's the last time you've gone before the Lord in a prayer like that? Have you ever gone before the Lord in a prayer like that? Friends, if we're serious about following Jesus, if we're serious about impacting our world and doing the good things that God has prepared for us, then we have to learn to pray like that. You're here hoping, I believe, to see something God-sized happen in your life today. Then you and I need to be willing to seek God in situation-changing, future-shaping prayer. We need to ask God for impact, like Nehemiah. Nehemiah prayed, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. Are you a man or a woman or student or child of God-sized action? Then pray. Pray and prepare. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready for action. We've talked a lot today about our hearts breaking for the things that breaks God's heart, but I want to talk to you if your heart is just simply broken today. If you're hearing these words about God's grace and belonging in the family of God, and yet your heart is just broken. You don't know that relationship. It hasn't been filled. Then maybe you're here today because your heart is broken. Maybe you're here today to know that love and grace of the Savior, Jesus. Maybe you're here today because Jesus wants you to know that his heart is breaking for you as well. That his greatest, deepest desire is to welcome you into the family of God, to receive you by his love and grace. Maybe you're here today because you have that deep desire to know that you are a child of God. And for some reason, it has just escaped you. You can't think about doing good in the world or helping others because you need help yourself. If that's you today, if you're in that place of being broken, then I want to encourage you that Jesus is here to receive you. If you've never called on the name of Jesus before, then today is that opportunity. The invitation is to trust in Jesus, to ask for forgiveness of your sins, to be wiped clean, and to be raised up into new life. To know that power of the resurrection, to know that joy of being in the family of God. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. If that's your heart's desire today, if that's what you want today, then I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you to invite Jesus in, to ask, to seek, to knock. Because God's desire more than anything else is for you to know his love, his forgiveness, and his welcome into the family of God. So I'm going to invite us all to stand up, if you would, each of us. All of us today, to stand. And let's pray. You can just echo this in your heart. Jesus, I am asking today for you to come into my heart. Jesus, I am seeking forgiveness. God, I am knocking. I want you to come in and fill my life. Jesus, I trust you died for me. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, I want the new life you give. And now by faith in your promise, Jesus, I trust I am a child of God. I give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.